Okay. Tonight I'm not going to teach as I normally did. I'm going to teach off of these notes that I wrote. And I wrote them for the purpose of teaching, not just for my purpose, because I could teach it without even looking at this piece of paper. But I wanted to put it down in a plain form where you could see it and where you could use it and you could show it to somebody. You could reproduce it, do anything you want to with it. I want you to be able to see and to be able to show people what you believe. That's one of the greatest faults that I find in the church world today, is everybody said, well, I believe. Why? My first question is, why do you believe that? Well, the preacher told me. That's not good enough. Why do you believe it? The only answer you should say is because God has shown me in my heart. Whether he shows it through a preacher or somebody else, that's okay. But you've got to know it in your heart. It's got to be a witness in your heart that what you believe is real, not in your intellect. And most of the church is running around saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. And James said the demons and devils believe too. Now, what are you going to do with that one? Huh? If demons and devils believe, they haven't got anything going, have they? Come on. So what have we got by just saying, I believe? We have nothing. We have to know. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, anyone know what it says? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you shall be my disciples indeed, and the truth will make you free. Literally, what does it say? See, it's not just truth that will set you free. It's what you know. Because that whole book is truth, but guess what? It's truly spoken words, but there's lies in that book. But they're truly spoken. But it won't do you any good unless you know it in your heart. Do you hear what I'm saying? You've got to know it in your heart that what you're saying is true. And not because Dave said it or somebody else said it, but because God witnesses it in your heart. No other reason can you believe anything. He said, my sheep will hear my voice, right? So we need to hear the voice of God in our heart speaking to us, giving us an amen or saying, nay, drop that thing. That's the way it should be in your heart. If I say something that don't witness in your spirit, kick it out. I'll be the first to tell you, kick it out. If it's not time, put it on the shelf. It'll come back around. Okay? So this paper, I give you this handout. There are four words that we use for the devil in the King James Bible, okay? In the Greek language and the Hebrew language. On the top of this page, we start out with the word devil, right? It's a Greek word, diabolos. The word Satan in the Greek, satanas. In the Hebrew, satan. Next word. Serpent, Ophis in the Greek, Noctus in the Hebrew. Next word, dragon, drakon in the Greek, tanyan in the Hebrew with the root word of tan. And it means what? Sea serpent or land monster. And oh, there's a story in that. Oh, there's a story in that. What does the sea represent? Humanity. And there's a sea serpent in humanity. There's a serpent in us. See, we are humanity. Or a land monster. What are we made out of? Dust of the earth. So we got a land monster and a sea serpent we need to deal with tonight. And as long as we think it's a devil with a pitchfork and two horns running around with that sharp pointed tail and a red flannel suit that Flip Wilson told us about, we ain't never going to get this thing straight and we'll never have peace in our life. We have to realize that there's a sea serpent and a land monster that we're dealing with. And most people don't know they exist. Okay? I first want to take you to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Now, I know that people want their devil. And when you try to take their devil away from them, they're going to fight you. There is a literal devil, they will say. Well, how come God is speaking in spiritual things and they're trying to make everything literal? When they do that, you know what realm they're speaking from. They're coming from the dust and the sand, from the intellectual realm. And to be carnally minded is what? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, which way do you want it? Now, people try to read this book with a carnal understanding. They say, well, Brother Fields, you're getting too spiritual about this. You're spiritualizing things too much. Well, excuse me, just a minute. Let me go back and see if I can put this stuff together a little better. God is a what? He seeks those to worship Him in spirit and truth. We are spiritual people. The book is a spiritual book, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and written down by spiritual men with spiritual understanding. Well, let me see. Should I try to read this book with my mind or the Spirit? Hey, where's the argument at? The argument is they don't know what a spiritual mind is. Hello? They don't know what a spiritual mind is. All they know is they use this piece of meat between their ears. Didn't Paul say to put on the mind of Christ? Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you will know what? What is the good and perfect will of God? The good, perfect, acceptable will of God. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We got to put on, he said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me turn there for a minute. Romans, you hold your place in Revelation. I'm going there. When I quote something, I hate to misquote. It's Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world or age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? Now, the only way we're going to prove anything in God is put on what? The mind of Christ. And we can't keep doing it as long as we're looking for an external devil. Everybody's looking for the devil. The devil made me do it. The devil's doing it. He's in Rome. He's in New York. He's in Florida. He's in Southern Ohio. He's in Kentucky and everywhere at the same time. Excuse me. He is not omnipotent. Only God is. We have to look and see that somebody has told us a story somewhere. We have to go back and analyze these things. And everybody's afraid to look at what they believe and put it on the table. If you take what you believe in your heart and lay it out on the table and examine it, roll it around, look at it from every angle, let anybody look at it, you're probably on the right track. But most people who are the most argumentative, mean, nasty people in the world, when you touch their idol, they'll bite you. That serpent will come out and they'll bite you. Why? Because they don't know what they believe. But they put all their stock in what they believe, even if they don't know why or what they believe. See? So tell me, why is the reason they get upset? Pride. I want to be like everybody else. I want to be accepted. What I believe is right because most of the people believe it. Especially in America, and we know that God's an American, right? Well, that's what the church world believes. God is not an American. God is a spirit. And He doesn't look at America as the crown jewel of this world. The book says the first will be last, and the last will be first. Well, America thinks they're number one. That could put them on the tail end, couldn't it? We need to look at these things. There's some things, there's reasons why all this is crazy. And I want to get through as much as I can of here. I think we can do it no problem. Chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 9. Now, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. All four names, right? Same, right? Okay. What do you think this great dragon really is? He's your mind. It's the fleshly thinking. It's the carnal mind. He was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan. Now look what he did. He deceived the whole world. Hello? Not part of them. Now, how could one, anything other than God, deceive billions and billions and billions of people all at the same time? Boy, he's a fast little devil, ain't he? Yeah. I mean, come on. Oh. The whirlwind. Yeah. Yeah. But see, people don't stop and think. How could one demon, one devil, do all this chaotic stuff? See, if you'll notice at the bottom of your paper I give you, a total of those four words, devil, was never used in the Old Testament. Satan, serpent, and the dragon, total of 55 times, was used in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament we know is about 2/3 of the Bible, right? The New Testament written about 1/3 of it. Well, in this 1/3, we got 128 times we use these words. Wonder what the focus is going to that for. The devil came about by the Hebrew people. The priests had to find a way, because of the apostasy that was coming into their religion, they had to find a way to control the people. So what better way than to make him an external devil? Make the boogeyman out there something nobody can see, but he's woo, 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 he's going to get you. See? And they scared people. When you scare people into church, they'll do anything you tell them to do for a season. It's control and it's manipulation, and they get you there for two reasons. For your money and to tell you what to do. That's what they're there for. And that's exactly why this devil came about. This talk of endless punishment after death and the devil doing all this stuff, it came from the Egyptians. The Egyptians believed in the afterlife and this punishment thereafter. They're the ones that set all this up. And the Hebrews said, hey, work for them. It's no different today when the church says, hey, look how the world's making money. We can do that. We can do all that. We can be just like them. And we can go to church on Sunday, so everything will be fine. It's not about going to church. It's about living for God and doing what God wants. Okay? So what I want to show you here is that this dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan, one and the same, right? Isn't that what that says right there? It's one and the same, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out where? Into where? What are you? Hello? Hello? Who can say the devil ain't in them? Oh, I'm not me. I'm a born-again, tongue-talking, spirit-filled Christian. Well, I couldn't have no devil. No way. Ain't no devil going to live in the house of the Lord. How you going to keep a devil out of you if you're not born again? If there is a devil that you're talking about, how would you have any authority over him? Too many contradictions in all their teachings. He has no way of doing anything. What he's telling you here, first of all, you have to realize that this is the book of Revelation. How is it written? It's symbolic. See? It's all in shadows and types and allegories and metaphors. It's all in symbolism. In shadows and types, okay? So guess what? All this stuff he's telling, when he said he cast him out into the earth, do you think he was really talking about putting him on this earth? That's what the church thinks. See? But we're made out of the earth. He put him in the earth. Not on the earth. He put him in us, didn't he? Let me show you something else. Let's go on. Revelation 20, verse 2 and 3. Okay, angels. Absolutely, I can explain it. Angels are just messengers. Messengers carry thought processes. Thinking in your mind. The thought processes. There's the angels. There's the messengers. Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, the thought processes in your mind is the messengers or the angels of the devil, the carnal mind. See, it's symbolism. It's not a literal word. And we have to understand that the thinking process is those messengers. Okay. Now, look what he said. Then he heard saying, loud voice saying, now deliverance has come, and the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, because the accuser of brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. I don't want to go in there. I don't want to get started. I like this book too much. I'll get started. Let's go into Revelation 20. Verse 2 and 3. I'll start in verse 1. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down or descend from heaven or from the spirit realm, having the key of the bottomless pit. Guess what the bottomless pit is? It's your mind. Because it's infinite, the wickedness that can come out of it. There's no end to it. And a great chain, or a big chain, literally a fetter or a manacle, in his hand. Now, he saw this angel come down from heaven. Wonder who this might be. It's the Christ. See, he came to where? He came down from heaven, so where did he come to? Didn't he say, I am the bread of life that came from heaven? See, it's the Christ. And he comes down, he has the key. That means power and authority. I can open and I can shut. It's up to him. See, he has the key. And of the bottom pit, and the great chain or the big fetter or manacle in his what? In his hand. Who's in control? It sure ain't us, is it? Who's controlling this thought process? God is. And he laid hold, or he seized on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Right? Symbolism. You see all the time charts that the churches draw out, throw them away, use them for drip oil drip plate things under your car if it's leaking. You know, use them for a drip mat to catch some oil, because that's all they're good for. That's the closest thing they'll get any oil on. What? Four devils, huh? But they're all the same one. And see, it says, he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is relating to the same one, which is the devil. Tells you plain, doesn't it? The word devil is the false accuser. Okay? And bound him for 1,000 years. Isn't 1,000 years as a day? And a day is 1,000 years? Okay. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed for a little season or a short space of time. Okay? So what I'm showing you here, all four of these words are actually talking of one in one thought process. They're not talking about four different things, are they? They're not four different devils, you know, a big council of devils or something. It's talking about one thing. And every one of them are the same, which is our thought process. I want to drop down to that first list of the four words below, numbered 1, 2, 3, and 4. The word devil, again, is not in the Old Testament at all, but in the New Testament, it's the word diabolos, the Greek. It's number 1228, and literally it means the false accuser. Now, where are you accused every day? In your mind, every day, every one of us is accused. When Jesus was in the temptation, I'll get there later, do you think there was a devil out there with a pitchfork tempting him? It says in the Scriptures that he was tempted in all ways as we are. So if we're tempted there, wonder how he was tempted. Where do you think he was tempted, Faye? In the mind. See, it was all in the mind. When it said it carried him away to Jerusalem and put him up on the pinnacle of the temple, do you think he literally took him up there and set him on the temple in Jerusalem? Come on. We got to get past that. We got to get past that, I'm telling you. But it's the false accuser. Drop down to the word Satan. The Strong's number is 4567 in the Greek. It means the accuser or the adversary. Okay, he's my accuser. Anybody that accuses me is also what? He's my adversary. He's trying to do me in, isn't he? Okay. I said this a long time ago, didn't understand what I was saying at the time. When I was in the Pentecostal realm, they always preaching Adam and the devil. And I said, I don't know the difference. They're both trying to kill me. What's the difference between them? I didn't know. The flesh and Adam. Flesh and the devil, what's the difference? Nothing. Because it's both talking about this thing right up here. The thinking process. People say I was crazy, but you know what? I think they're crazy. Because they've got so much duality. They've got so many demons and devils running around. All God's army couldn't take care of them. By the way, they've got it. Now, the third word, serpent, it's the Greek word ophis in the New Testament, right? It means a snake, an artful or a malicious, an artful, malicious person. In the Hebrew, it's the number 5175 in the Strong's Dictionary, which means a serpent or a snake. Now, do you really think because it says serpent or snake, that's what it really was, a snake? Just like Eve in the Old Testament when she had the conversation supposedly with the snake, do you really think there was a snake in a tree? See? How easy do those old tales get started? Well, it don't hurt to show the kids. It makes it more colorful to put a little red apple in there and, you know, hang the snake in the tree, make him a big python. You're scarier that way because he's big, you know. And you take the kids in the back room and you tell them about the snake and the apple. Don't worry about Jesus. We'll get to that later. See? Just tell them about how important the snake and the apple is. See? And get their mind totally off of it. I'll say this because I've said it before and I don't care. It's true. I don't believe in Sunday school. Why don't I believe in Sunday school? Because there's something going on back there that should be out here. If God is speaking through whoever is out here speaking and teaching, the Spirit of God can teach them. I don't care what size they are. If it's by Spirit, they hear by Spirit. When we have babies come in here, they can't even speak yet. That Spirit can hear the same thing as you can, probably better because you have all the confusion in your mind. That kid hasn't learned anything yet. His spirit is free. You can just grab it. He's learning, and you can still say, hey, shh, quiet down, but still. I don't say anything about the children crying or having problems. That's children. You know, parents need to deal with that, grandparents, whatever. They need to work with them. They need to teach them how to be in a crowd of people and keep themselves down. It's okay. And we have grace and mercy. And I think they should be in here. Because if the Spirit of God is speaking through whoever's here speaking, that Spirit in that child hears everything that you hear. Because there's no such thing in this book as a spirit baby. Show it to me if there is. Spirit. Spirit. Period. It's spirit. And if them children come in here and hear it, and they go out like there's been some here and they've went out, those children heard it. The seed was planted. Ain't nothing you can do about it. The seed's planted. And somewhere down the road, when a religion tries to pour that garbage over on them, they're going to spit it out and say, there's no way. I know better. It's in my heart. I already know it. See? So I don't worry about the children. I think they should be right here. I don't think they need to be calling pictures out there. They can sit in here and color pictures. Don't bother a bit. We got coloring books there for them, crayons, don't we? Let them do it. Don't hurt a thing. They're hearing it, whether their intellect knows it or not. It's not important because it's not about intellect. Huh? What do you mean? Yeah, because they're not using them. They're not using red and green so much. Okay. I got that. Okay. Number four, dragon. Greek word, number 1404, right? Drakon is the word. It means the serpent supposed to fascinate. Kind of like a snake charmer. Now they charm that snake. Well, this is the other way around. It's like charming you. The snake's charming you. The serpent, the dragon, is charming you. It's that fabulous serpent, that one that fascinates your mind. See, if we get this thing exposed and realize, I ain't talking about no devils. There ain't no demon and devil in all the world or even the false hell that the church preaches that can do anything to you when you find out the truth. Can't touch you. You're absolutely free when you find this out. And the Hebrew parallel to this is 8577, the Tanyan, the marine or land monster, a sea serpent, a jackal. A jackal is another good way to describe the human nature. They're a jackal. They'll eat anything. Dead stuff. A lot of death they'll eat. Okay? In Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah 51, verse 9. I want to drop you a few places. See some things. Isaiah 51, 9. I believe Isaiah had a pure word to tell us about it. Do you? Didn't he start out and say, Lord, cleanse my lips? Took a coal and put on his lips? Said, send me. He read it. Got a little bit of fire in your mouth? Guess what? You can do it. 51 verse 9. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, and for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears. I'm reading 59. No wonder it didn't sound right. I liked what it was saying anyway. Okay. See? There you go. Watch that old devil. Okay. Awake, awake, put on their strength, O arm of the Lord. In the generations of old, art thou not it, but him that hath cut, or literally, that hath cut Rahab? But the word cut is something else. Okay? Revelation 13, verse 14. Got to go back to Revelation. See, everything you do is in the book of Revelation. Revelation 13, verse 14. Art thou not him that hath cut Rahab? And now Rahab, you know what the name means? Huh? Boaster, braggart, pride. And wounded what? See? He killed the boaster, the braggart, didn't he? See, he took care of it. He's the one that cut him. Now, let me show you something. In Revelation 13, verse 14, and he deceived them that dwell on the earth, sound like the one a while ago, deceived all the earth, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth or on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a what? Guess what? It's the Word of God. This beast had a wound by the Word of God. And he did cut him. And you go right back to Genesis, and what's he say? If you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. That's the sword of God, the Word of God. There's the wound in the beast's head. There's Rahab being cut. We're not talking about Rahab the harlot that was on the fence. We're talking about something else here. It's all symbolism. Okay? So we know that this is talking about the beast, the dragon, the serpent, the natural man, the natural way of thinking, the fleshly thinking. It's all the same. Every bit of it's the same. Okay? Now, I want to take you to some verses in that second list of things where it's got devil, Satan, serpent, dragon. I want to take you through some verses and show you something. Okay? Let's go to Hebrews 2:14 for the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Let me back up and get context. Let me say verse 13. And again I will put my trust in him, and again behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood. See, we're the children of God, and we are partakers of what? Flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the... Now, what is death? Carnal mind. So who had power of the carnal mind? This thing right here, the carnal mind itself, see? The one who had power over, that's the Christ. That's the only thing that's going to kill it, is the Christ. In the Old Testament, there was all kinds of beautiful shadows and types of the Satan, the serpent, the dragon, the devil being slain. When David slew the Goliath, what did he kill him with? A stone, which is Christ. Wasn't he the rock? Where did he hit him? What's in there? What was he trying to kill? That carnal mind, see? And the only thing that will kill the carnal mind is the Word of God. The Word of God. The only thing that will kill that mind. Two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. If it does, we're unstable in all of our ways. So something's got to go. Is it our thinking about Christ, or is it our thinking about the self? See? It goes right back to the ego of man. I, me, my, and mine. Watch how many times you say that in a day's time. I, me, my, or mine. Sometime I just challenge you to take a little notepad and see how many times you hear somebody say it in a day's time. And see how many times you hear somebody say, we or us. We us is the mature son. Okay. So we see that... What? Did you get that? Yeah, the Greek is too, isn't it? Now, I read 14, but let's read 15 also with that. And deliver them who through fear of death were in all their lifetime subject to bondage. See? Bondage. Because of what? F-E-A-R. Fear. Fear. What does the church put you in? Fear. Fear. Devil's going to get you. Devil's going to throw you in hell. Hogwash. You're already in hell if you believed it. There you go. That's all it is. See, but fear, fear, fear. And that's all the church preaches. How are you ever going to overcome? How are you ever going to ascend to the heavenlies if you're walking in fear? God's not given us fear, has He? So we got to get away from all this stuff. Okay. Let's go now to Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Are we there? Okay. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Hello. He was drove there by the Spirit, it says in Luke. He was drove into the wilderness. Okay? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after the hunger. And when the tempter came to him, and see, that just shows that, like, people aren't realizing this is spiritual, it's symbolism, it's a parable. Okay? He says, when he came to him, like he just walked up to him and said, hey, Jesus, I'm here to tempt you. Come on. We're not that naive, are we? I surely hope not. And when he had fasted 40 days, 4 nights, after he was hungry, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, look what happened. When he was on the cross later on, what was the same word said to him? The doubt and unbelief. The same thing that was ministered by the serpent to Eve. God knows if you'll do this, you'll be just like him. See, all the serpent's trying to do, all the devil, the dragon, all this is trying to do is his mind trying to convince you that you are not who God said you are. That's all it's trying to do. Is my natural mind is trying to preserve itself. Guess what? Self has to go away. The self-life, the suke has to go. Okay? And it says the devil, but he answered and said, It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, if you think he's talking about just reading the Bible, you missed it. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, whose mouth have you got? Did he not purchase you? Guess what? You can speak the word of the Lord just exactly like he did. How are you going to live? I'm going to live by the word of God that I speak. And when I speak it, I'm speaking it right back into my ears, and I'm reinforcing everything in my heart. Every time I speak the word of God, it reinforces me. That's why David said when no one encouraged him, he just encouraged himself. All I got to do is start talking about the word of the Lord, and I'm going to get encouraged. I'm going to get excited, and next thing you know, it's hard to tell what I'm going to be doing. But I'm going to be excited in God. I don't have to worry about somebody doing it for me. Why? Because he's resident in me. Same for you. You don't have to have a down day. You don't have to. Where we walk out somewhere today? We walked out of some place today, and the person said to you, have a nice day. I love them to say that, because my standard comeback is, it's the only kind I'm allowed to have. It's the only kind I'm allowed to have. And that's the truth. I don't believe I can have anything but an outstanding day in God. Now, the world can throw everything in the world at me. I don't care, but I can still have a good day in God. It don't make a difference what's going on out there. I can have a great day. I can have fellowship with God every day. What could be better than that? What could be better? I mean, my God, my Father, my Creator, talking to me, showing me things, giving me more life, showing me more light on things. What could be better than that? I don't know what could be better than that. No one's ever shown me anything better than that. Okay? Then the devil takes him up to the holy city and sets him on the pinnacle of the temple. What are you? Didn't it say in Revelation, didn't John say, I've seen the holy city coming down out of spirit realm, out of heaven? You are the holy city, prepared as a bride, adorned as a bride, prepared for her husband. Who's he talking about? You. You. So he took him to the holy city and set him up on that pinnacle of the temple and said, if you be the Son of God, cast down yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. See, there's the letter of the word. And there's what that mind will speak to you. That serpent, that devil, that dragon. See, right there. It can quote the word. God, they've got them people, you know, van empty. He can quote the word, and all he's doing is bringing condemnation and guilt and death to people. There's no life in it. And that's all this serpent will quote. And it's the same thing he's quoting with, his intellect. Man's more intellectual than I am, and praise God that I'm not where he's at. I thank God that I don't have that intellectual level. Not very smart, but I know God, and that's the most important thing where I'm at. 7. And Jesus said unto him, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil took him up into a exceeding high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of all the kingdoms of the world, the glory of them, and said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now I've heard everything the world preached on this. See, the devil has control of the whole world. Hogwash. Carnality. Intellect. He's not saying that. He's just saying he's trying to offer you everything. He didn't say he had ownership. And just because Jesus didn't come back and say, no, devil, you don't own it, that's mine. That don't mean it wasn't God's. He just didn't say anything about it. He did it the same way you're going to have to do it. Because he wasn't talking to a devil. You're talking to your intellect, your thinking process. And that thinking process is trying to convince you that you can do everything in your natural strength. I'm going to tell you, by now, everyone in this room ought to know that my natural strength or your natural strength is not going to cut it. You ought to figure that out by now. It ain't going to work. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. It's not going to work. Why do you think the church is in so much failure? Because they're training to do it in themselves instead of doing it in his strength. Paul said, when I'm weak, he's strong. Yeah. Yeah, when he gets here, he'll fix it. That's what they say. And he said, then Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaves him, and behold, angels come and minister to him. He left him. Let's go over to Luke 4. Luke 4. Yes, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other thought process is the mind of God. It's the mind of Christ. See? When the natural mind goes away, what's left? There's only two things. Mind of Christ or the mind of humanity, that's all there is. So when one's gone, the other one's in there. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Jesus, chapter 4 of Luke, verse 1, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Now there's the key. Being full of the Holy Ghost. You want things in your life to change, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get full of it. He didn't say take a drink, did he? Be filled with it, see? Being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. Now what is Jordan? It's death. See? See, he come to a place where he gave himself up. You want? I heard people that struggle for the Holy Ghost. Die, you'll get it. Die. You want the Holy Ghost? Die. I'm not talking about killing your flesh. I'm talking about your thinking process has got to go. You've got to let God have a control of this thing. Change the way you think. Metanoia. How about that? Two Greek words, metanoia. Change your knowledge or change the way you think. So he returned from the place of death and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command the stone to be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed unto him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. Now, look at that. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. Is that natural? Come on. Can that be literal? No. It's got to be done in his mind. And people can't see it. They still think he showed him a big screen picture up there in the sky and showed him everything in the world in just a blur, you know. Put it on panoramic view, and not 33 and a third, not 78, but about 4 billion speed, you know. Just flash it all in a moment. The whole world. Come on. That's just ludicrous to even think these things. But he showed him everything in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Well, you know why it was delivered unto him? Because Adam gave it to him. The thinking process gave in to the natural mind. Adam gave to the mind, did he not? In the garden, did he not disobey God? He went in, he gave it to him. It was delivered to him, see? Didn't say God gave it to him, it said it was delivered to him. and to whomsoever I will give it. And if you will worship me, all shall be yours. See? Now who's talking? Self. Did the book say that the world and the fullness thereof, the earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's? Well, then how could any demonic being possess this world if it all belongs to God? Well, that's the ego of man again, see? Thinking he owns something. We don't own anything. Jesus answered him, saying, get behind me, Satan. For it is written that you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge of you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time shall dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all of the temptation, he departed him for a season, or a short space of time. Okay? For a season, for a short space of time, he left. Do you think he stayed away? To come back, see? And whenever you give in to that flesh, guess what he'll do? That flesh will fly right back up there. It'll sprout back up right instantly. Yeah. That's what he's doing. And look what it says in verse 14. Now this is what you do when you walk through this and learn what's going on. And Jesus, that's the Christ, returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. What's Galilee? The heathen circle. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified at all. There's going to be a time when the sons of God walk back into that religious realm. But see, they're going to go back in to take care of Mama. They're not going to destroy her. They're going to go back and get her. He was walking all over them. See? Didn't Peter say, your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? He was walking all over them. Yeah, he was burning shoe leather on them, I guarantee you. Now, he said, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant, Ed? Phil? Keith? Faye? Landon? Helen? Have you considered? This is you. This is what's going on in your life. And if you can't see this, then he's going to walk all over you and burn shoe leather on you from now on. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? Where? In the earth. A perfect upright man, one that fears God and hates evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him? When are you going to learn you're protected? When are you going to learn? Ain't no devil out there anyway. It's your cherubim in your head making it all up anyway. Listen to that religious hoopla out there. He said, have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. Now, who touched him? God touched him. Satan says, put forth your hand now and touch all that he has and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon him put not forth thine hand. He can't touch you. He can't touch you. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons of all come on, it goes on through. Same thing again. He can't touch you. Right? I think it's in chapter 2. There it is again. Chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also in them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Right back at it again. Test number 2. You don't get by that easy. You know, sometimes you can guess at answers and get them right, can't you? See if it's memorization. If it's memorization, you'll get the same grade the next time. There's none like him in the earth, perfect, an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil or hates evil, and still he holds fast his integrity. After he turned the devil loose on him, what did he do? He turned Satan loose on him, and he said he still holds his integrity, doesn't he? Although thou movest me against him. See, who moved against him? God did. To destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, yea, skin for skin. Yea, all that the man has will he give for his life, for his suke. It's not the word right there, but it's the same thing. Put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown of his head. Guess what? There was a man that was cursed with boils. Would boils be a disease? An infection in your body? Well now, didn't he say this man was perfect, upright, loved God, and hated evil? Then why was he sick? Well, first of all, it was his flesh. That kind of blows divine health, don't it?
bad blood, though, the bad blood was Adam, wasn't it?
Sure it was. Sure it was. It was in the flesh, see? But it was in the natural. It was not in the spirit.
In the first place, God had let the head down and let Satan do this to Job.
Only to his flesh.
To see if Job, how much Job could stand in his flesh.
Yeah. Well, here's something a little farther to look at. He didn't do it to see how far he could go. God already knows how far you go.
Yeah.
He let it to see, let you know how far you can go.
How far you can go. Yeah.
He wants you to know who you are.
Yeah.
He don't need to know how far you go. He created you.
Well,
you need to know how far you can go.
A lot of times we don't know how far we can go until we go through it.
That's what I'm saying. It was for, this is pointing for my benefit. Your benefit. That's what you're going through it for. Right. Okay, let's go to Matthew 4 and 10. We're going to look at Satan in the New Testament. Matthew 4, 10. We just went over that, so we don't need to go back. I just use that as a reference where he's at. Okay, 4:10. That's just where we talked about him. I'm not going to hit that again. Revelation 2:13. I didn't notice that. I doubled up on you there. Revelation 2:13. And if you read in the 12th verse to precede this to get it set up, he said, "And to the angel or the messenger of the church of Pergamos, write these things, saith he that has the sharp two-edged sword with two edges. I know your works," right? "And where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is." Wonder where that is.
China.
Yeah, there you go. Or Afghanistan.
China's got the national symbol of the dragon.
Oh, okay. You must be. "And you hold fast my name and have not denied the faith, even those days wherein Antipas was my faithful, who was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you," or the word "among" should be "in," okay, in you where Satan dwells, the accuser dwells. Where does the accuser dwell? In you. In you. Now, who is Antipas? Let me show you something. Look up here on the board. Look here. Antipas. Antipas. Like the Father. Who is like the Father? The Son, the Christ. Therefore my martyr was slain. He was talking about the Christ. And where was he slain at? See? He was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. When Adam said this, this is when Christ died, before the foundation of the world. The word "before" is the wrong word. It's at the conception. The word "foundation," if you look it up in the word, is not there. The word "foundation" is not in that language in any shape or form. Not even in the King James, even though he put it in there. It is still isn't listed in the Strong's. It says conception. At the very moment that Adam said, it says in Isaiah, where he said, Isaiah 14:12, where he said, I will, when he said, "I'll be like the Most High God." When Lucifer, is what they say, Lucifer, the devil, it's Adam. But whenever he said those things, at that very moment, he slayed Christ in his heart. At that very second, that's when he died. That was the time when the faithful martyr was slain. And that was in Satan's seat, wasn't it? Right there in the head. I don't want to go any farther than that. I get started in there and I get lost. Revelation 3:9. We're right here close. Ninth verse says, "Behold, I will make them," or the ones of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are what? Christians. Well, I'm a Christian. I go to the local Baptist church on the corner, the Methodist church, the Pentecostal, whatever. And are not. They are not, but what do? They lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. That can't be hereafter. God's not going to rub it in nobody's nose hereafter. See, See, that's foolishness. God says they're going to know that I loved you and my love is within you because they're going to see it. And they're going to come and worship at your feet. At your feet. They're going to show you respect in your lifestyle because your lifestyle betrays exactly what His is. See, it's not going to be something hereafter. And you're not going to say, told you so. You're not going to say things like that. Pergamos? Where are we at? In 3. Pergamos means a fortified heights or elevation. Pride. Up here, fortified with a big high wall around it. Religious minds. Got walls built around them. That's what he's talking about. Okay? Let's look at the serpent now. Genesis 3:1. I'm not going to hit all these things. I'm just going to go a few more minutes and just hit a couple things and then get on out of it for right now. You got the paper. There's a whole bunch of verses on the dragon. We'll get a couple of them and then we'll let it go. Okay? Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast which God had made. No one said anything. No. Go back and look what I said. More subtle than any beast that God never made. Oh, you didn't catch on, did you? Read that. What does it say in front of you? No. Lord God. Not God. The Yahweh Elohim. He's not talking about Himself. He's talking about you. Who created the beast? You did in your own mind. Didn't He call us creators? Wonder why. We create the things in our mind. It's all a mind game. It's all in the imagination of the mind. He says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, had made. And He said to the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Not what God said anyway, but... And the woman said to the serpent, here's the problem. Sue got involved with the snake. Now, I read a book yesterday. Oh, made me sick. I tried to read it and set it down. And I mean, this book was like this thick. It's called The Sun Placing, wasn't it? Sun Placing. I can't remember the guy that wrote it. But I mean, supposedly he's supposed to have all this great revelation. And you know what he said in there? He said, Eve had sex with the devil, with the snake. Now, this is a man supposedly in the kingdom talking truth. Now, God says that any woman or man that has sex with a beast shall surely die. And He chose this woman and He's going to let her have sex with a snake. Snake, how could a snake have sex with a woman to start with? Come on. I mean, come on, just think a little bit here. Something don't work here. Somebody got a sick mind to start with. And then He said, beyond that, He says, she had sex with the snake first. And then she taught Adam how to have sex. And when she conceived, she had twins. Now, where does it say that? Yeah, that thing, that serpent we was talking about, he was walking right there talking right there. See? But he was saying these kind of foods. And this is a man that has a reputation writing all these big fancy books. I can't believe it. Now, where in the world does a man get something like that out there? God says it's an abomination for a man to lie with a beast. How could he let him? Jeez. Whoo! Man, people sick. Okay. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And there's where Sue added the problem. He never said anything about touching it. He just said eating of it. She started adding to it. Huh? For the tape, that's Sue K. That's our soul. Okay? And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die." This is the intellect reasoning with her, right? The intellect's reasoning with her and says, "For God does know that in a day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat and also gave to her husband with her and he did eat. Now, back up and look what it says. "For God does know that in the day," in verse 5, "that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods." Hello, there's the lie. You already are. You already are. And the lie is, you're not. See, the mind, which is the serpent, is going to tell you you're not. It's trying to convince you you're not sons of God. There's the problem. You don't think you're sons of God. Do you know what? When a dog is born, you don't have to tell a dog to bark. You don't have to tell it to chase cars. Do you? It just does what it does. But sons of God are dumber than any beast he created. Because we believe every lie that someone tells us about ourselves. And yet we should have the understanding. We're supposed to be the intelligent ones on the earth. We're supposed to have the intellect and the mind of God. And yet we act worse than the dumb animals on the earth. I mean, to me, that's just amazing. God says we're sons. Why don't we believe it? Now, I understand there's a time when we're all in ignorance. When God pulled the veil back, there's no more excuse. Romans 1 says there's no more excuse. He's already revealed himself to you. There's no more excuse. Then why do I keep going back and believing this thing in my mind, this serpent, this devil, this dragon, this snake? Well, why? Why do I want to buy it? Why do I want to buy into that? How come, Terry? I'm deceived. I'm deceived. Okay? We saw that. I want to go through to 14. Where to leave off at? 7? Yeah, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Fig leaves will always represent one thing in Scripture. What does it represent? Man's religion. See, trying to cover up. It's religion. They're trying to cover up man-made religion. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden to cool the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees. See, when you think you can hide yourself, you've got some problems. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." And he said, "Who told you was naked?" There's a problem. God didn't tell us that. We have his glory. Why should we be ever be feared of being naked? See, we're running around without the covering of God, so we think. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest me," they'll skip one, yeah, "who told you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me." So everybody's got an excuse. "And I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all beasts of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Guess what? What's the first covenant? Dust. Second covenant? Sand. And the serpent. As long as you stay in those two covenants, that's where the serpent lives, and that's his food. You want to get away from this devil, Satan, serpent, and dragon? You got to come out of the dust and you got to come out of the sand of your understanding. It's in your understanding. And when you ascend into the heavenlies, Isaiah said it this way, there's a highway, literally a higher way, where the lions can't walk and the vultures can't fly there. When you ascend into Mount Zion, when you ascend to tabernacles, there's no serpent that can bite you. Nothing can touch you. And it's all right here between your ears. If you can understand this, that's all I'm trying to show you. You have to come on up. In the book of Revelation, what's the Spirit always saying to you? Come on up. He's enticing you to come to the higher realm. See, don't stay down there in the dust, because when you stay in the dust, you're going to get bit by the snake. The dragon's going to bite you. The devil's going to get you. Why? Because that's his ground. See, when he said there in Matthew 4, it's all been delivered unto me. That's his playground. He said you're going to play in the dust. That's your food. That's where you live. And as long as you stay in that realm, you're going to get that stuff on you. But when you ascend into the heavenlies, and see, it's not like you got to go someplace. Paul said, you are presently already seated in heavenly places in Christ. It's all about the Christ. And if you understand this, they can't bother you. See, I'm not putting a show on how I feel, because you can see me any day of the week. What am I like, Faye? It's the same, because I found out he can't touch me. All you got to do is come on up. Come on up. There's no ticket. You don't have to reserve something. It's already been reserved for you. Come on up in the mind. You got to take your mind above this stuff, and it can't touch you. They can't get there. Sure.
And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. See, the first thing he did was he got fear.
Didn't come from God, did it?
First thing he did, he was afraid. Well, that fear is not of God.
No, it's not of God.
So that's where man has been all the time, in fear.
But it came from here. Yep. See, the serpent gave it to him. Fear. Okay, let's turn to one more New Testament. 2 Corinthians 11:3. This is Paul writing this epistle. I'll read the first two verses, set it up. Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that's Christ, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or deceived Eve, which was life, through, literally it was in his trickery, not subtlety, but trickery, so your minds or your intellect should be corrupted from the... So in the same way, he's saying, I'm afraid your minds are going to be corrupted the same way as Eve was, from the simplicity, or literally singleness, or the sincerity, one who is free from pretense or hypocrisy. He said, it's so simple. I'm afraid that you're going to go the same way. I want to present you as a chaste virgin of Christ, but I'm afraid you're going to miss something here. You're going to let that serpent get right back at you again, just like she got Eve. Okay, you hear me? And he says, this word from the simplicity, the word simplicity literally means singleness or sincerity, or one who is free from pretense. See? One free from pretense or hypocrisy. You don't have to put on a show for nobody. That's a free man. Isn't it? You don't have to impress nobody. You don't have to dress up for nobody. You don't have to do nothing. All you got to do is be who you be. Who has God created you to be? That's who you're supposed to be. Anything else from that? See, if you come to church, like most people go to church, and on Sunday they come in and they put their shiny shoes on and all their decorations, but all week long they're wearing blue jeans, that's a hypocrite. That's hypocrisy. Now, if I wear a suit all week long and I want to wear one on Sunday, ain't no difference. That's who I am. See, I don't wear suits. I wear half a pair of pants. And I wear them on Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Don't make no difference. See, that's being who you are. I know that my dress offends a lot of people. I'm not talking about in here, but there are a lot of people offended by my dress. But I don't really care. Well, sometimes she might be. She would prefer me at times to...
Not in a suit.
No. But she would prefer me to dress differently. But this is where I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable there. See? So where should I be? Right where I'm at. See? It's where you should be. It's not trying to offend people. It's just who I am. See?
Just being who you
am. I understand that. Jesus being who he was offended people. Many of them, didn't he? So... if we're the Christ with him, aren't we going to offend people? Are we going to offend them?
Yeah.
You don't have to try to offend people. Just being who you are will offend them. Okay? There's two more verses I want to read. I'm going to skip over the dragon thing. You've got the stuff right there to look at it. All those verses you can read through. If you got any questions, bring them back to me because I don't want to keep you all night because I could go on. Turn to Hebrews 2 and 18. Look what it says. Because in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted or tested, he is able to succor them, or capture them, or take them unto himself, them that are tempted or tested too. So the ones that's going to go to him are going to be the ones that are what? Don't you know that your adversary is not really your enemy? Your adversary will make you grow. Opposition will make you grow. You can sit there like a couch potato and you'll never change. But the opposition in your mind will drive you to God.
Well, I will be obese.
Your opposition will make you stronger. And if you don't have the opposition, you'll never go. The opposition will drive you. You'll get fed up with this world. You'll get fed up with all the religion that man has pumped out at us. And eventually you're going to have no place else to go but run into the arms of God. Because there's nothing else left. You're going to be sick of everything else the world has given you. There is nothing in here that tells me that there's some devil that's going to get me. If I read with my intellect, my natural carnal mind, man, that thing can do anything. It can create all kinds of images in your head and scare you to death. And you know what? I'm not worried about it. If those terrorists want to run an airplane into Portsmouth, Ohio, what is that to me? Can you control it? Well, then go home and enjoy yourself tonight. Relax. Rest. My book says he gives his beloved rest. Are you his beloved? Well, then why don't you go home and sleep tonight then? Quit thinking about all this stuff. The only reason I can't sleep all night because I got to get up early and drive, but I'm going to sleep until I get ready to get up. I can crawl out of the bed 10 minutes, put my clothes on, I'm ready to go. I'll sleep from now till then. I mean, I don't care. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you'll get this stuff out of your mind, the peace of God will come to you. There's nothing else left. If you get the turmoil out, the confusion out, what else you got left? Peace. Okay? One more verse, Hebrews 4:15. Look what it says. Because we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That means he was tempted in everything that you've seen, everything you felt, taste, and touch it. He has done the same thing. He looked at it, everything you did in his mind, but he never let those things sway him off of his course. Only difference. He just never said yes. He said no to every one of them. Only difference. To the obedience of Christ. And see, that was a man. See, now this is where they don't differentiate Jesus from the Christ. See, Jesus was a man just as you and I. And he had to take every thought captive to the obedience of the Christ within him, the same as you do. There's no difference in this thing. As long as you see him out there somewhere, God's out there and we're back here, oh, heaven help us. We'll never... What? We have an identity crisis. That's what I'm telling you. You've got to know your identity. Yep. You've got to know your identity. Any other questions? Any other questions or statements?
I have